Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, what's the latest with Brittany Griner in Russia? Rick Grinnell helps us unpack that. And then Jack Posobiec has a new show on Real America's Voice. We talk about the new right, and we listen to Rush Limbaugh, who is right well ahead of his time. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Open up your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, or get involved with Turning Point Action and come to our upcoming events with Governor DeSantis in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, tpaction.com. That is tpaction.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is a great American patriot, Rick Grinnell. Rick is someone who should be running the U.S. State Department right now, unlike the failed punk rocker Tony Blinken. Rick, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Charlie. It's always a pleasure. And I just have to add this little thing. If we're going to talk about Anthony Blinken, people need to realize that Anthony Blinken's parents funded the George Soros Information Center. It's named after his parents.
Really?
And our media continue to block this. And it's an outrage, but they've been doing George Soros's bidding for decades and giving him millions of dollars to help his open society.
Wait, so Blinken's parents have been given Soros millions of dollars?
Yeah, the center, the George Soros-funded center for his work is called, if I get his parents' name right, I forget. It's named after his parents, and I forget their names, but it's the whatever their names are, Blinken Center for Information.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Somebody could pull it up and give us his parents' names. But, you know, I've tried to highlight this.
Yeah, I found it right here. Yeah, it's the Blinken Open Society Archives. Yeah. Incredible.
Same after both of his parents.
Remarkable. Well, on that uplifting note, so Rick, walk us through how prisoner transfers usually work. Brittany Griner goes to Russia with drugs, shouldn't have done that. She's a fellow American, despite the fact she hates America. She kneels during the national anthem. Under a normal administration, I believe Brittany would already be home. We saw that with the Ball brother, I get them all confused, when Trump got these prisoners home. But now it seems as if we're doing this elaborate prisoner swap with the Merchant of Death. How do prisoner swaps usually work, and why is this so outrageous what we're entertaining right now?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that the State Department has a whole bureau that deals with this, detained Americans. And, you know, it's a very, very slow process. If you commit a crime in another country, we usually let the other country kind of go through the machinations of its legal process. We demand access. There's consular affairs individuals, Americans working overseas in the embassies who will go see the American who's detained. It's a very slow process, and we try not to jump, you know, forward on legal processes. But there are times when the detained American is so outrageous that the political types, and usually the NSC or the White House, jump in and say, this is unacceptable. We're not waiting. We're going to get you home. And I'll give you two examples under the Trump administration. We all know ASAP Rocky, who was detained for some crazy ideas that wouldn't be so crazy here in America under the current woke system. But we also had Pastor Brunson in Turkey. And in both situations,
I remember that one. Yeah.
In both situations, President Trump just said to Turkey and to Sweden, hey, we're going to use tariffs and our economic leverage if you don't allow this person to come home immediately, and we're not going to negotiate. You've got to let this person come back. And in both instances, pretty quickly, the legal process collapsed and we got our American home. Now, you can't use that all the time, but you certainly can use that in situations like Brittany Griner. I think what better way to show someone who hates America that America is the one who is not going to let her down just simply because she hates America? She's going to come home and realize that the American system is the greatest system in the history of the world. She may come home a little too late and think Joe Biden wasn't the greatest president, but she certainly, and she and her family know that if Donald Trump were in office, she wouldn't be there.
Let's play cut 13. I want your reaction on Donald Trump's take on Brittany Griner. Always entertaining. Play cut 13.
She went in there loaded up with drugs into a hostile territory where they're very vigilant about drugs. They don't like drugs. And she got caught, and now we're supposed to get her out. And she makes a lot of money, I guess, but we're supposed to get her out for a absolute killer, and one of the biggest arms dealers in the world killed many Americans, killed many people, and he's going to get a free card, and we're going to get her. She knew you don't go in there loaded up with drugs, and she admitted it.
So we're going to swap the Merchant of Death for Brittany Griner. I mean, talk about how these, I mean, this seems as if the worst deal in the history of prisoner swaps, since the one that Obama did with the Gitmo
with
5.
Bergo.
Yeah, exactly.
With Bo Bergo. And I was a part of that. The platoon mates of Bo Bergo were furious, and they're my friends. Look, the reality is, Charlie, we should not do prisoner swaps. We should have a president who has leverage, who has credibility to be able to get Americans home, mm-hmm. and use the leverage of the U.S. government, not go down to this level of trading prisoners. The only thing that happens when you trade prisoners is that you're putting the price on future Americans. Every hostile government is going to grab at Americans so that they can then use that person as leverage once they realize
we're
prisoner
right.
swaps. Yeah. It's a terrible precedent. And so Donald Trump is right. We should not be doing a prisoner swap with Brittany Griner. Instead, Joe Biden should be calling up Putin and demanding Brittany Griner be released and using U.S. government leverage, not a prisoner swap.
Yeah, I mean, but what leverage do we have right now? I mean, Putin would say, well, then stop supplying weapons to Ukraine, right? I mean, we're not exactly on speaking terms with the Russian Federation. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, we have a lot of leverage to use. You just got to get creative. There are still countries that are, dealing with Russia. And some of those countries we have good relationships or good enough relationships with. We should be able to really squeeze them further. But you got to be able to have a president that's willing to do it, not submit to the bureaucracy. What Joe Biden is doing is letting the bureaucracy of the State Department determine this. They don't have guts. They're going to allow this process to continue and do, the diplomatic meetings. You've got to realize that you've got leverage when you're the president of the United States. You got to have credible leverage, and you got to use it every once in a while. Now, there's an argument to say Biden doesn't have much credibility, and certainly Putin is not afraid of him. But the United States government does still have leverage, and you can get creative and you can get him home. Blinken, of course, is just like completely MIA.
I mean, it's a joke. I think he's compromised. Really, in closing here quick, Rick, what races are you looking at now to the midterms? I know you're spending a lot of time in the political space. You did a lot here for Kerry Lake and for Blake Masters. Where are you going to be spending a lot of your time? What candidates are really exciting you?
Well, I'm following Donald Trump's lead and going where he's endorsed candidates, and I'm really pushing hard. I'd probably say that the Nevada Senate race is
Adam
top.
Laxalt. Yep.
Adam Laxalt, top of my list. He's an amazing American. We certainly need Blake Masters. I like Tudor Dixon and Kerry Lake, the governors. I like Abe Hamadeh, who's running for attorney general right there in Arizona. Got a great candidate in Nevada running for attorney general. So I'm really trying as much as possible to concentrate on the West, Charlie, since a lot of people are concentrating on the East Coast. But you and I both know the West gets a little bit of less attention.
We need you in Arizona and Nevada. Those are two big ones. I think we could pick off both those Senate races, but the stars have to align. We got to do the work. Rick Grinnell, thank you so much for joining us as always.
All the best, Charlie. Good to see you.
Thanks, you too. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Iron Man thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too, discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. They call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Polls show that less than 12% of voters actually think it's going to reduce inflation. Of course, it won't. I want to play a couple pieces of tape here. Let's start with cut 8. Bernie Sanders admits that Biden's Inflation Reduction Act won't actually reduce inflation. Play cut 8.
I'm going to take a moment to say a few words about the so-called Inflation Reduction Act that we are debating this evening. And I say so-called, by the way, because according to the CBO and other economic organizations who have studied this bill, it will in fact have a minimal impact on inflation.
Bernie's right. Now, Bernie's critique is probably that it doesn't confiscate enough money and clobber enough businesses, that it doesn't go too far enough, I should say. Cut 3, Senator Chris Murphy talks about the climate change aspects of the bill. One of the last things Rush Limbaugh said in public, he said it at our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit. That's worth getting that tape. 2019, Rush Limbaugh with Donald Trump on stage. Incredible. He warned that the climate change issue, the environmentalist issue, will be the issue that will be used to deteriorate American sovereignty, to erode American private property. Rush Limbaugh was 100% right to warn us about the malevolent intentions and impact that the climate change fanatics will make on America. And what was so interesting about it is that it came out of nowhere. Rush just kind of went up and he said, you know what? I've always wanted to tell you guys that climate change is the biggest threat to our civilization. Not climate change itself, the climate change political issue. You have to understand, climate change is the wrapper around Marxism. You have Marxism at its core, and you have climate change on the exterior. Climate change activism, environmentalism, pseudo-paganism. We call it a Trojan horse, a wolf in sheep's clothing. That all sounds so cliche, but it's totally true. Play cut 3.
What do you think the most impactful part of the Inflation Reduction Act will be?
Well, all I know is that people's lives are going to get better. We have a planet that is warming at a rate that we just can't sustain. We have kids all around this country who wonder, are the adults going to take this seriously before it's too late? Storms, droughts, wildfires we can't control. We now have an incentive structure in place for renewable energy so that electricity producers are going to start building solar capacity, wind capacity, instead of just more oil fired and gas-fired power plants. Obviously, a really productive summer, and the bottom line is that people's lives are just going to get better.
Did he say anything in those last 37 seconds? It was, okay, people's lives are going to get better. How? 87,000 new IRS agents, attacks on natural gas, more cronyist handouts for solar panel production and green energy expansion. Pete Buttigieg says that you too can own an electric vehicle. And with it, your freedom and liberty will be deteriorated. Remember, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. This bill from the Senate is the most ambitious great leap forward for the Great Reset that we have seen of this term. This is a Great Reset attempt to try to lay the foundation. Play cut 5.
I'm excited about the electric vehicle provisions because, you know, what this will do is reduce the price through tax credits of an electric vehicle. And if you see that lower sticker price and you can afford an EV, you're also going to be saving money for every day that you own it. Because even at lower gas prices, there's still a gas savings for people who are able to fill up on electricity instead of gas. And they tend to require lower maintenance, too.
So that's why Nancy Pelosi bought Tesla stock. Got it. Subsidizing electric vehicles. By the way, here's a question for Pete Buttigieg. What are you going to do with the batteries? What do you do with batteries of electric vehicles? You can't put them into space. They're so toxic you can't bury them. What are you going to do with the batteries that are actually, they have more negative corrosive spillover in a electric vehicle battery once used than the potential emissions from some natural gas-powered vehicles? What are you going to do with the battery exactly? Oh, you even thought that through? No, this right here, of course, is a Marxist totalitarianism, private property grabbing, never-ending cycle. This game will never end. This is just the beginning. $300 billion is just the beginning. It's for the planet. No, it's not. It's for your power is what it's for. Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone, just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868. Text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Joining us now is friend of the show and co-host of our never-ending election live stream, Jack Posobiec. Jack, how you doing?
You know, Charlie, I'm so glad that we didn't make that In-N-Out Burger thing about the Joe Kent election, because apparently the Joe Kent election still has not ended. So technically,
that's right,
that live stream is still up and running.
You would still be fasting 6 days later. That's amazing.
I'm in for it, man. Just get my electrolytes. I'm going to do it. I can do it.
Ketones.
I'm holding out.
So we got to have you back for the November live stream. It's going to be great. So, Jack, you spoke at CPAC this last weekend. I want to play a piece of tape.
Yes.
Let's play cut 16. Jack at CPAC.
Where is it? Yes. Where's the $60 billion, Joe? What have you done with this? What percentage? And when you look at the laptop, and we were some of the first people to have that laptop, and I think that the American people want to support the people of Ukraine, but they inherently know that there's something going on in between us supporting them and the money not going to where it needs to be. And that is where you get politicians, connected families, oligarchs, the whole nine yards.
Jack, you talked about the new right. Expand on that for our audience. It was well received. Floor is yours.
Well, thanks, Charlie. I appreciate that. And, you know, this really builds on everything that was happening at the Turning Point Student Summit down in Tampa, where we had this discussion of I think, and as you've outlined here on the program, being part of the new right means understanding what time it is. Or as I like to say on Human Events, we say, do you understand what part of the movie you're in? Right? We're not in the beginning. We're not in Act Two. We're at the end of Act Two, going into Act Three, where it looks like everything is its darkest, and there's two doors, right? One door is the door of the Constitution, the door of going back to the society that we all love. The other door is mass chaos. It's critical race theory. It's social justice. It's these reform prosecutors all across the country letting out violent criminals, et cetera, the complete dismantling of our society. And we can choose. And that's what this election is all about. But the idea of the new right is because we are in a fourth turning. And as we talk about on War Room all the time,
worth reading that book, by the way. Yeah.
People need to understand that it is in the fourth turning. It doesn't just end all by itself. The fourth turning actually goes into a first turning, and there is a movement of people within that fourth turning that rise up and defend society and rebuild once the chaos has ended. That's what the new right is all about.
What is the fourth turning? It was published in 1996. Explain to our audience what the fourth turning is.
So the fourth turning essentially is a theory that that history operates essentially in 80-year cycles. So you look at the Civil War, World War II, the American Revolution, they all kind of end up with this. And the long and short of it, you may have seen an online meme of this where people will say, strong men create good times, good times create weak men create bad times create strong men. And so that cycle seems to be playing out throughout all of history. And it's actually very hard. I've thought about it. I'm sure you have as well. You know, some way to refute this cycle. And yet we see it again and again and again. I haven't quite figured out the refutation of it, but I think the through line, right? The through line is that we understand what it takes to build societies. And there's always a sort of cadre of people, a certain percentage of people that understand what it was like when times were good and the work that it took to get there. And this is why the understanding of history, our true history, and the understanding of our traditions, why our traditions are important, is so important to keep. You know, we just spent after CPAC, we actually flew up to upstate New York and we were at my great, great grandparents' farm my children's great, great parents' farm, where they came in from Poland and had founded this farm in upstate New York. And the fact that my kids were eating blackberries, right, that were planted by those immigrants that came over. It's an understanding. This is what came before. This is the work that it took to build the United States of America. And a respect, I think a healthy respect for those who came before, not just charging forward with whatever the latest fad is, whatever the latest thing is.
Mm-hmm. We'll play a piece of tape here of the great Rush Limbaugh talking about America First. Which one is that? Is that 18 or is that a different one? We could have cut 19. Listen to this, Jack. I want your response. Play cut 19. Rush Limbaugh at our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit, his last public speech that we know of. Play cut 19.
Make America great. Why? Why is Make America Great so controversial? Stop and think a minute. Who could oppose it? Somebody comes along and says, I want to make America great again. Why is that controversial? Why in the world is that controversial? And then somebody comes along and says, I think we ought to be America first again. Why is that controversial? Why do people oppose America first? Why do people oppose making America great again? I'll tell you why. The people who think make America great again is not good think that it is a throwback to 200 years ago America. They think that it is code for taking America back to the days when it was manifestly unfair, racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe. It is not that. Make America great again is let's get back and restore the principles of the founding. America First is based on the solution and the submission that America is the solution to the world's problems. It is not the problem. The left in America, the left around the world thinks America is the problem, and we're not. When America leads, when America triumphs, when America prospers, the world does greater than ever.
So ahead of the curve. That was December 2019. Jack, your thoughts?
Yeah, Charlie, I can't help but getting choked up a little bit listening to that because I was there with my wife and with Tanya, and we were there that day, and we didn't know, right? We couldn't possibly have known that Turning Point Student Action Summit would be, as far as we know, Russia's last public, certainly publicly billed speech. And you know, I actually said when delivering my talk on what is the new right, I said the two founding fathers of the new right, Andrew Breitbart and Rush Limbaugh, and they got this. They just got this directly. You know, it's interesting that Rush was talking about Make America Great Again. And if you go on the Wikipedia page for Make America Great Again, you scroll down to, I think it's like paragraph 3 or 4. It just says blatantly, numerous scholars have held that the phrase Make America Great Again is a racist dog whistle, and starts, you know, detailing everything that he said in the first part of his statement, but never actually says what the people who say and support Make America Great Again, and in addition, America First, actually believe when they say it. And so this, of course, you know, go trust Wikipedia with that. That's where they will set their redefinition of words, whether it be the redefinition of the word woman or recession or groomer or any of these things. They'll even redefine your own slogans so that people who don't know better, and Rush came up, of course, coined the term low information voters, that a low information voter is going to look at this and say, oh my gosh, well, I couldn't possibly support that. And that's why, Charlie, it's so important to have programs like yours and to have Rav out there and other places out there that are pushing this this movement and really standing up and saying, you know what? We are going to fight back against this because there is, believe it or not, objective truth. There's no such thing as subjective truth. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's the truth. And we are going to fight for that.
So, Jack, this kind of idea of the new right, it seems as if that was the predominant focus at both our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit, also at CPAC. There's very little oxygen left in the room for kind of the Republican gatekeepers of old. It seems as if they're just getting picked off one by one by one. What do we need to do to kind of put our foot to the accelerator now till November? Some of the most consequential 90 days of our life, because this is the country you and I are going to have to live in. What is the marching orders now in the next 90 days?
Well, I think it's incredible that, and I'm sure you've seen the headlines, of course, the Turning Point Action just announced that Governor DeSantis Yes. is going to be going to campaign across the swing states and the battleground states in the country for the America First candidates. It's being set up through Turning Point Action, all the Trump endorsed candidates, and what I believe it's titled Unite and Win.
That's right.
And that's the idea. We are going to unite the party now. We're going to unite everyone together. We're going to reach out to independents and say, if you believe in this program, if you believe in this program of putting the American people first, and whether that's the people of Arizona, the people of Michigan, the people of Pennsylvania, the people of Ohio, et cetera, the people hopefully of Washington's third district, if Joe Kent's able to pull it out there, and it's looking good, but you know, we'll see.
Still tight. It's this
It's this understanding that we are going to reorient our government. And instead of being a government for all the people all over the entire world, we're going to be a government that says, you know what? We do care about Detroit more than we care about Shanghai. We care about Philadelphia more than we care about Paris, et cetera, et cetera. That your needs come first. The shooting galleries in our cities, the drug and opioid epidemics coming across our border, actually doing something about our north, by the way, our southern and northern borders, and dealing with all of these issues. We're going to focus here at home. We're going to pull the plank of wood out of our own eye before we go around and start dealing with the rest of the world. I think that's a huge movement. I said in the speech as well that I think, trade, immigration, national security, the culture wars, that's really the coalition here. When you put that coalition together, that's why you're seeing this huge movement with Hispanics right now. You're also, by the way, and the media hasn't even caught up on this yet, you're seeing movement in the African-American community too. Why? Because those are issues that everyone cares about. It's not pandering. It's real life, yes, kitchen table issues. That's what it's all about.
I want to talk about Ukraine and how that kind of all intersects with this as just the breaking news the last couple of moments. U.S. just approves another $4.5 billion aid package to Ukraine, Jack. Another billion
in
military
aid.
It doesn't stop, you know, the 51st state of Ukraine.
God bless.
Your thoughts on the recent aid transfer to Ukraine?
Well, look, you know, I'm actually thinking that, you know, we're launching the Human Events Daily show tonight here on Rav.
And, that's amazing. I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
I want to get one of those tickers, right? Maybe we can set this up. Maybe not for tonight, but maybe for tomorrow. Get one of these tickers in the bottom corner, just dollar by dollar, minute by minute, as it goes over to Ukraine. So we'll be there at 10 p.m. And I want that ticker in the corner, at least when we talk about it, right? You know, here's how many of your dollars are being sent to Ukraine, a country, by the way, that, you know, I still think that a good amount of Americans probably wouldn't be, you know, they get a hold of it on a map, but probably wouldn't be front of mind.
Yeah, it's just it's incredible when you see the amount of money that is being spent overseas that has no connection to the homeland. Tell us about your show, 10 o'clock Eastern on Real America's Voice.
It's very exciting. So what we've done is we have Human Events Daily, which is powered by Turning Point USA. We've been doing it as a podcast. We've been doing it on just live streams and Rumble and everywhere else. But as of today, this very day, we will now be joining forces just like yourself, just like War Room. We are being picked up by Real America's Voice. So we'll be launching 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Arizona time, and then immediately followed by the great Drew Hernandez, who's doing his frontline Nightline show. That's going to be 5 nights a week. And so it's kind of like, you know, you had the, you know, you had the, you know, Charlie and Bannon, they're kind of covering the daytime. Now you got Drew and Poso in the nighttime kind of coming in. So now you'll finally be able to get your full day, full court press, and where better than understanding that you have to be keeping up to date 24, almost 24/7 in this game, because this is the new right. And Steve Bannon, I think, said it best when he opened his speech at CPAC by simply saying, we're at war. And you can call it whatever you want, but from a political standpoint, this is an existential fight for the Republic. And I keep saying it, there's two doors, Charlie, right? One door is the Republic. One door is rebuilding this amazing Republic, this amazing country that we had. The other door is complete destabilization and essentially letting the Bolsheviks win. And we all know what happens when we let the Bolsheviks win. The criminals run amok. The crazies go nuts. We're basically, I mean, if you look at this act that just passed the Senate only by one vote, the vote of Kamala Harris last night, I mean, we're pretty much at the looting the treasury part of the decline. They know, right? They know this isn't sustainable over the long term, but they don't care. That's why all this money that's going to Ukraine, look, CBS just ran a story the other night that only 30% of the aid that's being sent over is actually making it to the front lines. And that's when Turning Point sent myself, my brother, we went over to Odessa, we went to Mykolaiv, we went to Lviv. We kept asking, where's the $60 billion? It was $60 billion at the time. Now we're going to have to reset it. Again, that's why we're going to need the ticker on Real America's Voice when we do the show. I want to put a ticker in the bottom corner that tells exactly, you know, every up to the minute how many dollars it's been. Because they know that it's not, and you know this, Charlie, and all the work that you've done in terms of covering government spending, that it's not about the intentions of the program. It's about the details. The devil's always in the details. Who gets the vendors? Who gets paid off? Who's making money off of this in the middle? Making money off the transactions, the same way the ESG scam works. When you look at this, that money is not actually ending up in the hands of the Ukrainian people, the Ukrainian women, the Ukrainian children, the men that are fighting on the front lines in this war, that, you know, we're looking at it and we're saying, why is this an existential threat for the United States? When you go and look at the killings that are going on in the border zone in Arizona, in Texas, in New Mexico, when you want to go and fight, you know, find an actual force that's worthy of direct U.S. involvement. I say, look no further than the southern border. It's right there. You've got everything you need. It's like an episode of the Sicario series every single weekend playing out down there. Mm-hmm. And yet, for some reason, we're not even allowed to talk about it.
Well, it's very clear that the neoconservatives actually have contempt for America, and they have reverence for their ideology and nation building from afar. Jack, super quick, as we're closing here, it seems as if there's a lot of political drama happening right now, Washington, D.C., and with all the midterms that are popping up. I just want to keep on hitting this point forward, though. We have to be vigilant against the Republican establishment trying to make our victory in November more difficult. Your thoughts, 1 minute remaining.
Blow out the numbers. We need a blowout victory in the House and a blowout victory in the Senate. I want to see as many R's as possible in there, because we need America Firsters. We need MAGA in there. Guess what? People have said we need a third party in the United States. Well, we have one. It just happens to be inside the Republican Party, and that's called MAGA.
It's well said. Jack Posobiec, congratulations on your program. I'll be watching tonight. Human Events Daily,
appreciate
powered
it, Charlie,
by Turning Point USA, every night at 10 o'clock Eastern on Real America's Voice. That's 7 o'clock Arizona time. God bless you, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.